The sermon text for today's message is a continuation of Mike Grund's gospel reading in Luke chapter 12. Okay? If you have a Bible there in front of you and you want to turn, and I realize I thought maybe you might all have the same Bible here. Oh no. There's one everything. And so I'm going to read from, the New American Standard, because it was the only large print one I could find. But if you want to follow along, we're in Luke 12, and I'm going to pick up where Mike left off, verses 22 to 32. And this is the text for the sermon today. And he said to his disciples, Jesus, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? If then you can't even do these very little things, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these, like the lady slippers we saw in the ditches." Wow. Verse 28, "But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O friends of little faith? Do not seek what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Do not weep with worry. For all these things the nations of the world do, but your Father knows what you need. But seek for his kingdom, and these other things will be added to you." Here we go. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you his kingdom." The gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the blessing that we have to gather as a community of faith, because I believe, but Lord, I have to confess, when brothers and sisters surround me and encourage me and pray for me and then testify, yep, God is good to me too, and I believe in his promises, Lord, that encourages me and everybody here today. So with that as the foundation, we begin this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the way, happy Father's Day again. Good to see you. My name is Pastor Jim Hale. I'm a retired Lutheran pastor. Our church home is Calvary Free Lutheran Church in Mesa, Arizona, and it's a Calvary that I've met half this congregation. It's amazing. I've gotten to know Minnesotans, I've gotten to know North Dakotans, South Dakotans, Iowans, Montana, Wisconsin's. Pretty much the whole upper Midwest come into our church's parking lot with their beautiful, colorful license plates and spend the winter with us. On an average July Sunday, we'll have about 50 of us. On an average November, December, January, February, March, and almost Easter, we'll have 200 people. It's a wonderful, wonderful congregation. just as I've already sensed, yours is too. You guys. Sometimes when you're so close to it, you can't see it. You've really got something special here. The bond of the people, and your trust in the Lord is a witness. I tell you, it's fun. My wife Joanne is in the second row, nodding here as well. So you're probably wondering, how did that guy wind up in our pulpit today? Well, it's a little bit of a long story. I'll shorten up. But Mike and Chris Gron and Harold and Judy Lee were at our home in Arizona for dinner one night. And as we're eating, we get to know each other. Well, how long have you been married? How long have you been married? And Judy said, well, you know, coming up in June, it'll be 60 years for us. And I said, well, Judy, are you guys going to go on a trip? You going to have a big family thing? And Harold quickly said, no. Judy said, no. And it had to be a poke. You know, you ever get a poke from God? It was just a poke. That poke had me kind of blurt out, you know what? If you want to do a renewal of your vows for your 60th anniversary, Joanne and I will come back and we'll do it. And I expected this was going to be in somebody's living room. And we're going to have, you know, tuna casserole afterward. That's not the way you folks do it in Upper Minnesota, is it? You really love and take care of your own. And this is a joy to be here. Well, that still doesn't explain how I wound up in this pulpit. After we all agreed, hey, that'd be fun to do. And Mike Gron already had his phone out and gave me the days and the times for the Allegiant flight from Mesa, Arizona to Fargo. That was before dessert. A couple days later, Mike said, you know, I was on a Zoom church council meeting with the congregation in Roseau, and our pastor Rod asked if he could have this weekend off in order to go do a wedding in Colorado. And so the church council politely gave him this weekend off. And then the next thing on the agenda, well, now who's going to preach? Mike said, no problem, I got a guy. And that's how I wound up in this pulpit today. He told me several days later. On this Father's Day, I chose this text and passage from Luke, this counsel to all of us of Jesus, but especially for us guys, dads, grandpas, a special message today. So I want you to listen very, very carefully. You heard me read the gospel from Luke. And just to make sure that we all heard the same message in my reading from Luke chapter 12 today, Jesus said what? Jesus said, don't do what? He said, worry. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. And of course, because Jesus says it, we don't worry, do we? No. None of us here worries. And if you don't praise God, you get to go back and start lunch early. But I have a feeling the majority of us are going to continue to sit here because we say, well, regardless of age, yeah, I worry. The reality is that we all worry about stuff. We worry about finances. We worry about kids. We worry about our grandkids. We worry about our jobs. We worry about school. We worry about a bunch of stuff, especially about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? Joanne and I have two adult children now, a boy and a girl. As teenagers, if one of those teenagers weren't home by what we call the bewitching hour, which is midnight, this is when they were older, if they weren't home by midnight, we started to worry. Because at our house, we had a rule. Hey, nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight. So we had a rule. As long as you live here, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, we'd like you to be home by midnight so we can go to bed and sleep. And they were really good about it. But once in a while, they didn't make it home by the bewitching hour. And I don't, for some reason, I especially worried. So about midnight, I'd say, ooh, they must have run out of gas. And about 12:15, whoa, I bet they had an accident. And about 12:20, they'd been abducted. By 12:21, our children are laying in a ditch dead. I just know it. We worry about the craziest stuff, huh? Dads especially, I think. We worry about stuff. And Jesus' advice to all of us here today, Jesus simply says, don't. Don't worry. Do not be afraid. Ooh. And you know what it's called? When we do something that Jesus says not to do, it starts with S, and it ends with an N, and it has an I in the middle. When we do stuff that Jesus says not to do, it's sin. But isn't it funny? We usually don't count all that worrying stuff as sin. Something Jesus expressly says, do not do, for some reason, we give ourselves a pass on that one, and we lay awake at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about stuff. Kind of denying the providence of God. Kind of denying the promises of God. Which as Christians, we claim to believe in. Friends, worry is a faith issue. Worry is a faith issue. Martin Luther, the great Christian theologian, the reformer, the namesake of our Christian denomination, went through a serious bout of depression during the Reformation. The Pope had excommunicated him. The Catholic Church had a warrant out for his arrest, dead or alive. His own friends had begun to disown him. His cause was languishing, and Luther sank pretty deep in worry and depression. One morning his wife Katie, Luther was married. One morning his wife Katie came downstairs all dressed in black. She had on her funeral clothes for breakfast. And Luther said, why are you wearing that? Who died? And Katie Luther said, well, God died. God died. And Luther said to her, Katie, who put that into your mind? That's of the devil. Who has convinced you that God has died? Katie sat down, picked up her coffee cup. I wasn't there. I'm old, but I wasn't there. And Katie said, Dr. Luther, I just assume God died by the way you're acting. You're all worried. You're all depressed. You are full of fear and discouragement. I just assumed that God must have died. Luther writes, he snapped out of it right away. And that's because the Bible has lots and lots of encouraging words on this topic of today. Matter of fact, there are 365 different passages in the Old and New Testament that say, fear not. Don't worry. One for every single day of your year. Fear not. Don't worry. But just because I tell my brain not to worry doesn't shut off my brain as I'm laying there at night. Amen? It doesn't just go away. So why would God say that I shouldn't be anxious and not to worry? And for that answer, we have to just go a little bit deeper. And the question is, why do I worry? Hi, how are you, Dennis? God, hey, say, he's calling to say Happy Father's Day, and we wish you a Happy Father's Day as well. Don't worry about it. Don't feel self-conscious. My buddy Dennis. No, that's fine. Now I'm going to start all over. Why do we worry? We're going to have to ask the next deeper question to get the answer to that. Simply because something's going on in our lives that we have no control over. And if we did, we'd fix it, right? But once in a while, there are things we have no control over. And so I worry. And today, Jesus asks each of us, in Luke chapter 12, verse 25, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No. And that's because worrying doesn't fix anything. Worrying is really worthless. Actually, it's worse than worthless, because not only can't it change a thing, but by doing so, everything else just kind of gets worse. Corrie Ten Boom, have you ever read any of her devotionals? Beautiful, beautiful author. Corrie Ten Boom wrote years ago, worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of sorrow. It only empties today of all your strength. It even robs you physically. You've heard of Dr. Charles Mayo, famous clinic here in Minnesota. Dr. Charles Mayo said that 80% of, he was very specific, of the stomach disorders that they see at the Mayo Clinic have no organic origin. 80% of the ills that they see at the Mayo Clinic are caused by worry and fear. Worry doesn't help. Matter of fact, both Jesus and Charles Mayo says it makes things worse. It can hurt you. Okay, we've learned that we worry because there's a situation we can't control. Another reason we worry is simply because we spend too much time supposing. But suppose... There was an elderly lady in a church who was... always smiling and always cheerful, always encouraging everybody around her, excited about life. And right behind her in a pew was a grouch, a sourpuss. And sitting behind her one day, she leaned forward and says, you know, I know you're happy and smiling and giggly today, but suppose some of the things of life catch up with you. Suppose you get sick. Suppose you can't get around. Suppose, and the nice lady stopped her and said, "Friend, please stop. My dear friend, you're always supposing. Just stop your supposing and trust God. God is in control." Kind of hate to say it, but worrying is a faith issue. Jesus says in our gospel lesson, verse 28, "Oh, gem of little faith," fill in the blank with your name. "Oh, you of little faith, fear not." But worry is a faith issue. Worry is when I put more faith and, frankly, time into my problems than I do into God's 365 promises. 365 times in the Bible it says, look to God in those difficult times. Trust God always. One of those 365 verses that I grabbed out is Psalm 55:22, for example. It says, "Cast all of your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." And my personal one that I pray at 2 or 3 in the morning, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding or supposing. In everything, just acknowledge him, and the Lord will guide your ways." I wind up praying that about 360 nights of the year. And you know what? That funny thing in the Bible called the peace that passes all understanding, it's almost immediate. When you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and give it to him. One sinner telling another sinner where I found the bread. Now, how do I trust and hold on to God in the middle of worry and fears, you might say? Well, let's go back and ask Dr. Jesus again, the doctor of my doubts, the great physician of the great promises of God. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, what are you looking at? The solution is where you're focusing. Don't focus on your supposes. Don't focus on your worries. Focus, verse 24, on things like the birds of the air. Focus on the lilies of the field. Hey, God takes care of them. Ye of little faith. You suppose he's going to take care of you too? When you start to get the willies, just look around, Jesus says. Look around in all creation. God has made it, and God is in control. Look and see what God is doing in the world and in the precious people around you who can just say, hey, God is good. God is good. And then I'm going to suggest not only looking around at others, but kind of look over your shoulder and see where you've been. In every step of your life, when you look back, you can see what God's been doing. And there's another set of footprints right next to yours, especially in those troubled times. So focus on what God is doing. Focus on what God has already done for you. Then flip in your Bible and mark something like Philippians chapter 4, where it will remind you again and again, rejoice. The Lord is near. It says in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which simply means going humbly before God, supplementation. And with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now watch now, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. A young man, and by the way, I'm wrapping it up now. A young man lost his job. And this young man had been looking for work and looking for work, and things were getting pretty tight. He was not a church-going man, but he decided in desperation he would walk down the street and visit with the old pastor. The young man walked in the door. The office, church office of the pastor was open. He wouldn't even come into the room. He stood in the doorway. And he just stood there in an angle. He shouted, I beg God to find me a job. Why doesn't God find me a job? And the old preacher, who is sitting across the room from that doorway, spoke very quietly. And the young man wasn't able to make out what the old boy had said. So this kid stepped into the room and said, "Hey, I can't hear you. When is God going to get me a job?" And the old preacher again spoke very, very quietly. And the young man came clear up to his desk now. He said, "I can't hear you. What did you say?" And now, nearly face to face with the old man, the preacher spoke very softly. And here's what he said. "Sometimes God whispers so we will move closer to Him." Lord God, in Jesus' words today, you've got us, probably all of us, right where you want us, closer, closer, and closer to you. God, you have us focusing on you, focusing on your word. Man, hanging on to those promises. God, I pray instead of our problems, if nothing more than this hour. Lord, we invite you to show us how to trust you and to seek you and to focus on you. And God, I give you my worries, and I thank you and rejoice that all that you have already done in our lives. God, we can't wait to see where you take us from here, you and me. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. That's all I got.